Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. I'm your host Ace, and joining me are Artura.
Hello everyone.
And Gozo.
Hello.
That's not Japanese.
Isn't it though? Is it not?
No.
I don't know enough Japanese to say one way or the other. In today's episode, we're talking about Nier Automata V1.1A, a series that's only a handful of episodes in. Since this is based on a video game, we've decided to cover it using the three-episode rule, like we did during season one of this very podcast. Like previous podcasts about new shows, I won't be as detailed in my synopsis as usual, so do check out the anime if we've piqued your interest. It was produced by A1 Pictures, the studio behind Fairy Tail, and all of the Persona anime except for Persona 5, although they did do one of the OVAs for Persona 5. I couldn't find out how many episodes long this is going to be, although it's only three episodes in because the studio was hit by COVID, and so the rest have been delayed. Nier Automata V1.1A currently has a My Anime List score of 7.49, which is the same as the previous anime we covered. This is based on Nier Automata, developed by Square Enix. It's a spin-off of Drakengard and much more popular, probably because you play as a robot that looks like a woman in a short skirt who has to climb a lot of ladders. I'm told it's a great game in all respects, but I bounced off it personally after like 5 or 6 hours.
My wife and I finished it, but like, I kind of want to replay it because the first time I didn't like it as much as I wish I did.
Well, as I found out watching this anime, there are multiple endings to the game. We'll hit on that in a bit. So you have a reason to replay it, I suppose.
Absolutely.
There is a funny story behind multiple endings in this series. Do I tell the story?
I mean, yes, you don't say there's a funny story and then just don't tell us.
There's a funny story. Anyway, bye guys.
Yeah, when they were making the first game in the series, Drakengard, they expected that it's going to be the only game in the series, so they made multiple endings, which is, I think they had 5 endings in that game, and every next game they just expanded it, and in Nier Automata, you get endings for ridiculous stuff. Like, I think there's like a battle in the main story in Nier Automata, and you can just go fishing, and you get an ending that, yeah, she went fishing. The end.
Spoilers. Right, my synopsis for this anime is 2B and 9S team up against machine life forms to save humanity. Short but sweet. Atara, what about you?
When is the story between 2B and 9S? They try to reclaim Earth from the invading machine menace for the glory of mankind.
And goes.
In Nier Automata version 1.1A, we follow robots and sometimes some other robots as they continue to fight robots in a robot war, and sometimes subtly pose existentialist questions that make you feel like shit. It's a robot eats robot world.
Well done. So the first episode, we open on narration over a black and white puddle. 2B is quite upset about the dead body she's carrying. Cut to an explosion as 2B flies in her jet thing, engaging enemy robots. I will not be calling them machine life forms because that takes too many syllables.
It's accurate.
She robotechs her plane into a mech suit and destroys an aircraft and confirms that she's the last survivor of the group, despite having pretty much had no trouble thus far. So the others clearly sucked.
Okay. That's hilarious way to put it.
She flies to her destination and wrecks her robotech, purposefully, for no reason. And then we get titles, and the song and animation are fine. I found after the third episode it grew on me.
I didn't like it, personally. To be honest, after the amazing music the Nier always has, this felt like a huge downgrade.
The opening song?
Yeah.
Oh, I was surprised that I recognized the musician who did the song.
Really?
Yeah, kind of a famous for actually doing an opening song in more recent Fate Day Night anime. There's something distinct about the vocals that I recognized right away.
Fair enough.
I guess it wasn't that great of a song, or maybe it would be better if the the animation was better to go with the song. I don't know, maybe gave me nostalgia or something. I don't know. It was alright.
Okay. We open back on 9S watching a couple of robots before he's told to go and find 2B to assist her. She's fighting robots before an excavator bursts through the wall, but it's destroyed by 9S when he arrives in his Robotech. She really should have kept her own rather than just smashing it against that wall, but...
But what do I know? I'm not an android, am I right?
They split up to find their target and have a chat over comms. They're looking for a core unit, which they find after it deploys into an, for lack of a better term, excavation building? Excavator building? Yeah, and it comes to life. 9S and 2B fight it, and 9S is knocked out of his Robotech and lands on top of the Goliath. 2B runs off to rescue him and reaches him, but he tells her to leave. So that was a waste of a trip. 9S's Robotech lands and 2B jumps aboard, destroying the Goliath, and then suddenly three more turn up. 2B and 9S remove their black boxes and touch them together, destroying everything within several miles. We cut to the bunker, a orbiting satellite base, where 2B wakes up and goes to see 9S, who confirms that their plan worked. They destroyed the Goliaths. She thanks him for uploading their data before their destruction, but he confirms it must have only been her data, as he has no memory of what they did.
I think it's notable that right away, the first episode, and also like the beginning of the game, pretty much gives you the, well, it's one of the existentialist questions that, well, they upload the memories and basically, did the character that we saw in the first episode died and now we follow a new character, or is it the same character because they have the memories, you know? I know, I'm rambling a bit.
No, I understand exactly what you're talking about. And that is something that's quite common throughout Nier Automata, and I really appreciate it.
Well, back to the anime. Rather than get the end credits, instead we get 2B's robot buddy Pod explaining that there are multiple endings to Nier Automata, the game, and then we're confronted by puppets of 2B and 9S.
Yeah, that's great. All of those sections in the first three episodes were great.
When they first popped up, I was absolutely baffled by the end. By the end of the third episode, I was looking forward to them.
I love how much effort they put into that. Like, I don't know if you had a note about that, but I think episode two, you have a bowling ball with 2B's face drawn on it. So... Yeah, I liked how practical all of that was.
Well, honestly, I burst out laughing at the end of that one because 9S is saying, oh, these are our black boxes, but we have to don't touch because... And then 2B is like, okay, I'll touch mine to yours. He's screaming out, no, don't do that! And there's an explosion.
Well, in the game, I think that was one of the ending sections, maybe that was the episode 2 one, where you remove the memory chip and the game ends. That's one of the endings that you can get in the game. Just go to your menu and remove the chip and you're done. You beat the game.
I wonder if it's a speedrun technique to get any
ending. My god.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's speedrun for each ending.
Okay, after we've recorded this, I'm going to go look. Episode 2 opens with narration about how aliens tried to exterminate humanity with robots. And it turns out that this was all a live broadcast to all of the androids for some reason.
Well, they need to stay motivated.
Hey, remember, you're doing this for humanity. Because maybe you forgot.
I think they mentioned that, isn't it like... the year 5000 something.
Yeah, 5200 and something.
And spoilers, in the game, this is planet Earth. Their timeline diverges from ours in like 2000s. So it's been a while. And like, I mean, you still see like a modern day housing complex. So you question when the world ended.
Well, I suppose 3,000 years is enough time for the plants to have taken over like they do, rather than, oh, it's been 20 years and now the plants have taken over. No, the zombies being around for 20 years doesn't mean that the plants will have completely taken over the entire planet.
It feels like you're talking about something in specific, Ace.
No, it's just, it happens too often in post-apocalyptic stuff. Plant life doesn't grow that
quickly. Oh, yeah, I agree. I was just kidding.
Are you saying that The Last of Us is unrealistic?
How dare you, sir.
I haven't watched that. I haven't played that. I don't know what the world is like in that.
There's giraffes everywhere.
Okay.
I can confirm.
Actually, I know that there's a giraffe somewhere in the game, so I'm assuming that there's giraffes everywhere.
No, it's only one giraffe.
Poor lonely giraffe.
How does he reproduce?
Asexual.
Well, there are several. It's just there's only one. The asexual giraffe. Oh, no.
We open on what might be a kid's cartoon made by the robots or for the robots. It's about the robots. The whole episode is intercut with scenes from this whatever it is. And from there we cut to a abandoned city, overgrown and with destroyed robots, until one of them reactivates. It spots a dead android, and the command comes up in its display, its HUD display, saying, "Destroy all dolls." It decides instead to go for a walk, encountering other robots which begin to follow it. It goes to a factory and receives repairs for its glitches, but not its slashed face, because we need some way to know that this is the one we followed at the start of the episode, and then aids in the building of more robots. It starts reading a book before going for another walk to find a flower, and its eyes turn from red to yellow, and it plants some flowers, leading some other yellow eyes to plant some more flowers. It's like the flower is a virus.
It's happiness. The virus is happiness.
We cut to a group of resistance members, and we're told that the androids like 2B and 9S have only recently been created. We meet Lily, the leader of the resistance, which has apparently been fighting the machines for centuries. Elsewhere, a field of flowers is being tended by some yellow-eyed robots, and it's approached by a flood of red-eyed robots. We cut to the space station, and 2B has been rebooted by 9S, and they go to see Command. They get the mission that they're being sent to liaise with the Resistance, replacing the androids already down there who had gone dark. Meanwhile, on Earth, the army of robots attacks the Resistance, having trampled the yellow-eyed robots and their flowers. The Resistance manages to escape over a bridge, luring the red eyes over so they can detonate explosives. The route to the bridge is evidently over some more flowers, which the original yellow-eyed robot... I should have given him a name like Slashface, shouldn't I?
Arr!
They're unhappy about it. The explosives on the bridge don't explode, but not to worry, because 9C and 2B arrive in their Robotex, carpet bombing the area. The yellow-eyed robot is flung into the crevasse that the bridge is over and lands next to a flower, making its eye turn green before it shuts down forever.
We will miss Slashface.
Arr! Arr!
Episode title, if ever there was one. We will miss Slashface.
Ah, goddammit.
We end on a whole bunch of yellow-eyed robots reading books, and then we get the credits with the ending song, which I thought was kind of dull and not inspirational or anything.
It's meant to make you feel bad, I think, because everything is.
It made me feel bad because it was so bad, sorry.
Episode 3 opens with the Resistance, 9S and 2B arriving at the Resistance camp. Though it's clear for some reason that Lily doesn't like 2B. While being debriefed by Lily, 2B and 9S are accosted by Jackass, who wants to see their insides from a purely scientific point of view. She interrupted them because robots are gathering in the nearby desert, something they haven't done before. 9S offers for he and 2B to check it out, so they head off with Jackass. Once in the desert, they're attacked, and 9S hacks into one of them, getting a look at what appears to be its memories, but he puts it down to just being random data. After the robots are defeated, they arrive at what they say used to be a housing complex, but I'd say it used to be a town because it was miles from the city. Like, you wouldn't have your houses miles from everything else.
That's a really good point. They're stupid.
They discover android corpses and a weird robot with hair. And as they move deeper into the town, they're pulled underground by a sinkhole, except for Jackass, who saves herself.
Thank God for Jackass.
They find a bunch of yellow-eyed robots, which gather together and birth an android which appears human like 2B and 9S do. So the pair kill the shit out of it. Suddenly, the corpse produces a second one, which attacks the pair and causes a cave-in. And that ends the episode. So, was this a good adaptation?
I think it was a brilliant adaptation. Ever since the first episode, I was pretty in love with it. Because, like, when the music started playing, I really liked the music of the game. And it just feels a lot like if it's just the game, but in an anime form, rather than, like, a reimagining or anything like that. And it's something that we haven't experienced just yet, at least much in this podcast. Like, even with other games I have known of, like, for instance, Animal Crossing, it felt more like it wasn't so much the game, but kind of like a spin-off universe of it. And it didn't feel like that with this one.
I don't know what you mean. Street Fighter 2, I clearly remember M. Bison driving towards Ryu in a truck during the game.
Yeah, and I remember that he reappeared in the Final Fight anime in that same truck. Yeah, remember that? Like, I keep thinking about that daily, like, about the truck and, like, how it crossed over from Street Fighter to, what was it? King of Fighters, maybe?
Well, yeah, I think it's a good adaptation. It's, as you say, it's adapting the story into an anime form, whereas you have to run to the desert in the game. Instead, they're driven there by Jackass because they need someone to talk to.
For a second, I was afraid that it's gonna, like, follow the game too closely, but then I was relieved when second episode starts with a completely different point of view of the machine life form that starts planting flowers.
Slash face.
Scar.
Please use Slash face's correct name.
Slash face. Yeah, I really like that sequence with Slash face.
Yeah, me too. So, based on the first three episodes, is it a Yata, a Nanny, or a Baka, Arthur?
For me, it's definitely a Yata. I love the visuals. Love the, like, I just love everything about it. This may be one of my favorites that we've watched so far.
And goes.
Yeah, Yartar. Yata.
Yartar when in Pirate Day.
Yeah.
I also give it a Yata because I was a bit hesitant at first because, as I said at the start, I bounced off the game. But the longer it went on, the more I remembered I actually enjoyed the story. I just couldn't get on with the gameplay. So being able to just watch the story happen is ideal for me. Okay, so my final question is, will you continue watching Nier Automata V1.1A?
I am split if, like, I want to continue watching it, because if it's gonna just recount the events of the game, it's not gonna be that interesting to me. But if it would bring something new, it might be.
I'm going to be honest with you, even if it follows the events of the game, it's always, for me, it's worth definitely, like, experiencing it, how it would look as an anime. And I really enjoyed the story of the game anyway, so, like, why not?
Personally, I think that I am going to continue watching the anime because, as I say, The story is what I enjoyed of that game, so I want to see the end of that story without having to suffer through the game that I didn't enjoy.
Through the 58 million hours of gameplay.
Yeah, if they can condense it into like 12 episodes, at a push 24. If it goes on longer, then I might just abandon it. I should lengthen it into One Piece length.
Oh no.
I'm probably more inclined to replay the game because I feel like I prefer the interactive storytelling rather than just watching everything.
Well, that's clearly because you enjoyed playing the game.
Yeah, that too, but yeah, sometimes it's hard to imagine how you could adapt a game that has more of an interactive storytelling thing going on rather than, like, I don't know, The Last of Us, where it's essentially cutscenes.
What are you trying to say about The Last of Us?
Oh, that it borrows heavily from the movies.
Well, when it gets an anime adaptation, we'll cover it for this podcast.
Oh, are we going to do The Last of Us anime?
If it gets an anime.
Oh, there's the thing that's airing now. Wasn't that an anime? It looks like really good animation.
You say that. I thought some of the animation in Nier Automata the 1.1A was not great. Like, really bad CG for the Robotechs, for instance.
Yeah, actually, that's something I wanted to mention, that I think it's the first time where I would say that the animation was the worst part of the anime. And not that it was bad, it's just that the story was really well-paced, the characters and dialogue felt natural, everything else was really, really good. I don't think anything else that we did so far got to that level. I mean, usually I would go, oh, but the animation was nice. Like, there were werewolves in a church out of nowhere, but the animation was sometimes fine. And this time I would go the opposite, because the animation, I mean, obviously, if the budget was higher, if it was an OVA or a theatrical release, then obviously the animation would be much, much better. But yeah, everything else held it up.
Right, well, on that note, I think we've reached the end of our podcast. Thank you for joining me, Arthur and Gozgoz.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge, and better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameDream.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Greencast podcast. And until next time, game on.